December 3rd. Think the unthinkable. It's fitting that one of the most important things you can do as a parent would require you to think about a thing that's very nearly impossible for a parent to even consider. Comes to us from Marcus Aurelius by way of Epictetus. He says, "As you kiss your son at night," says Epictetus, "whisper to yourself he may be dead in the morning." Don't tempt fate, you say. By talking about a natural event, is fate tempted when we speak of grain being reaped? Of course, this is not an easy thing to do. It goes against all of our impulses, but we must do it because life is fleeting and the world is cruel. Marcus lost 8 children, 8. Seneca, we gather, lost one early too. It should never happen, but it does. It heartbreakingly, world-wreckingly, nobody deserves it, does. And it's not that we hope that Marcus Aurelius and Seneca's philosophical training prepared them for the pain of losing a child. Nothing could prepare you for that. What we hope is that this exercise meant that they didn't waste a single second of the time they did get with their beautiful children. A parent who faces the fact that they can lose a child at any moment is a parent who is present. They don't rush through bedtime. They see it as the gift that it is. They don't hold on to stupid things. A great parent looks at a cruel world and says, "I know what you can do to my family in the future, but for the moment you have spared me, and I will not take that for granted." December 4th. Don't let them do this. They say it all the time. When will this be over? Are we there yet? Why is this taking so long? Do we have to? It's whiny. It's annoying. You ask them to stop. But in getting upset, you miss the real opportunity to teach them and to explain what they're really saying. In his book, Travels with Epicurus, the writer Daniel Klein recalls a formative moment. "I remember one long ago evening on an overcrowded train to Philadelphia," he writes, "hearing a young woman moan to her mother, 'God, I wish we were there already.' Her white-haired mother replied eloquently, 'Darling, never wish away a minute of your life.'" They're kids, so they don't understand how short a time we actually have on this planet. Even you as an adult sometimes forget this. That you get only 18 summers at home with your kid. That you drop them off at school only a little more than 1,000 mornings. That you'll get only so many breakfasts together, so many trips to the store, so many waits in the waiting room, the doctor's office. To wish that away, to waste those moments, those minutes, to want it to be over soon, what a tragedy. We can't take any time with our kids for granted, and we have to teach them now before they regret it, not to waste a minute of this life that we have. December 5th, Tempus Fugit.
This is our big mistake, to think we look forward toward death. Most of death is already gone. Whatever time has passed is owned by death. Seneca.
Every time you pick them up to trim their nails, every time you take them to get a haircut, every time you take a load of outgrown clothes to Goodwill or to a friend's house, every time you have to buy them a new pair of socks or shoes, be sure to acknowledge this moment. Notice what has led up to this. Whether it's been a few weeks between nail trimmings or 6 months for a new pair of bigger shoes, what has happened is that a piece of their childhood has elapsed, that time has passed, and it's gone forever. Now ask yourself, did you spend it well? Did you live it? Were you who and what they needed you to be? The Stoics remind us that death isn't some inevitable event in the future. It's happening right now. Every time they wear out a coat, every time they outgrow a pair of shoes or a pair of pants, these moments mark movement. They are the score marks of the homemade growth chart on the kitchen doorframe. They tick off opportunities for time together that will never, ever come back. December 6th. What would you do less of?
The height of cultivation always runs to simplicity. Bruce Lee.
We spend so much time on stuff that doesn't matter. Maybe it's doom scrolling on your phone or answering emails. Maybe it's arguing with your spouse, with your kids, with strangers on the internet. You hate these things, but you let them fill up so much of your life. Marcus Aurelius, frustrated with some obnoxious thing that was consuming his days, he once asked himself, "You're afraid of death because you won't be able to do this anymore?" That's the thing about tempus fugit, the idea that time flies. It's so clarifying. If you had unlimited time, maybe you wouldn't mind spending 2 hours a day in traffic. Maybe you wouldn't need to steer clear of the cesspool of Twitter or the bottomlessness of your inbox. If suddenly death were real to you, though, if you were given a few months or years to live, what would you immediately spend less time doing? What is the this that Marcus Aurelius referred to that you would cut out? December 7th. You can find the time.
I didn't see why it had to be either or. If you have a job in the daytime, you write at night. It's all a question of how much you want to do it. Margaret Atwood.
We think we're too busy. We think it's impossible. We're parents now. There's no way we can start a company. There's no way we can finish that project. We have to be realistic. We've got to put it aside for now. There just isn't enough time. As a young, struggling novelist, the writer Susan Strait would walk her daughter in the heat of Riverside, California, until she fell asleep. For naps, at night, it was the only way she could get her down. And the second her daughter drifted off, Strait would stop wherever they were, sit on the curb next to the stroller, and write in her notebook. She finished an entire novel that way. Even as passerbys would offer her money thinking she was homeless, she kept at it. Little did they know, or she know, that the novel would go on to win major literary prizes and launch a wonderful career. We've talked about how parents have to look for the double opportunities, the ways to spend time with your kid and do what you need to do. Part of that is also looking for the moments inside the moments when we can find the time, squeeze it like an orange for all it's worth, and get our work in too. We can do this. We have to do this. It's not impossible. It's been done by people who had it harder than us. Toni Morrison did it. Susan Strait did it. You can do it too. Whether it's writing or going back to law school or training for a marathon, you can find the time. You don't have to give up. You don't have to be realistic. Just be creative. December 8th. It's the 1,000th time that counts.
I would have given anything to keep her little. Jodi Picco.
Come on, Dad, again, one more time. Can we keep going a little longer? Let's start over. I don't want to stop. You've heard all these things more times than you can count. The request for one more book before bed, one more time riding on your back, to watch that funny video one more time, to sing that song one more time, to hear the story over again, to jump in the pool one more time, then one more time after that, and one more time after that. No matter how patient or indulgent you are, there will come a point when you want to say no, when you feel like you have to say no, because you've got to go, because this can't possibly be interesting to anyone, because it feels irresponsible. And maybe that's true, but you know what? Say yes, even if it's the 1,000th time. In fact, say yes because it's the 1,000th time, because that's the time that counts. You never know when you'll get another time. None of us know how many more times we get. So say yes. Make the 1,000th time count like it was the first. December 9th. What will you regret?
To have a child is the greatest honor and responsibility that can be bestowed upon any living being. Christopher Paolini.
On their deathbeds, parents think about a lot of things. They think about the world they're leaving to their sons and daughters. They think about how they parented. They think about the mistakes they made. They think about what they did right. They warmed themselves with the thoughts of their children, and if they're lucky, they find themselves surrounded by them. The question for you to think about today, on a day hopefully quite far from that moment, is what decisions are you making now, and how will you think about them then? Think about what most parents regret as they come to the end of life. They wish they'd expressed their love for their kids more. They regret not spending more time with their kids. They regret not telling them often enough how proud they were of them. They regret taking things too seriously. They regret letting petty differences or petty problems loom larger than the love that they felt in their hearts. They regret not being present, spending all their energy trying to organize perfect quality time when there was so much ordinary, wonderful garbage time to be had. They regret spoiling their kids, not teaching them the right lessons, not having the conversations that need to be had. Well, you're lucky, because you're not on your deathbed right now. It's not too late, nor is it ever too early. Today, you can adjust and change to make sure you don't have those regrets, or at least you can seek to minimize them. December 10th. Why are you rushing?
The trees are coming into leaf. Their greenness is a kind of grief. Philip Larkin.
We are always in a rush. We have to get them ready for school. We have to get them off to bed. We have to get to the airport. We have to get back inside. We have to finish up dinner. We are, as parents, it seems, perpetually short of time and always eager to get to the next thing. But it's worth stopping and thinking today about what we are actually rushing to and what we are rushing from. You're wrapping up bedtime quickly. Why? So you can sit and watch Netflix after they're asleep? You cannot stand for them to be late to school. Why? For fear of other parents judging you? You want to be at the airport how early? And for what reason? Because it recommends doing so on your ticket? When we rush, we should know that we are hurrying through life. We are zipping through their childhood, the exact thing we will stop and miss at some point not long from now. How much of this will seem important then? How much would we give to get back just a few of the minutes that we seem to want to be over as quickly as possible? Slow down. Savor it. December 11th. The present is pleasurable enough.
This is the real secret of life: to be completely engaged with what you are doing in the here and now. Alan Watts.
After a long and arduous hunt in 1888, Theodore Roosevelt finally got the bull caribou he had been tracking. It was one of those moments, he later wrote, that repay the hunter for days of toil and hardship, that is, if he needs repayment and does not find life in the wilderness pleasure enough in itself. A hunter who only enjoys bagging their quarry is likely to be a disappointed hunter, 9 times out of 10. More important, they are a blind and deaf hunter who needlessly misses out on the majesty of life outdoors. And a parent who thinks this is an occupation you win, who believes parenting is measured mostly by those big, special moments, is missing a lot of majestic life as well. It's not about the future. It's not about getting through the terrible twos or the terrible teens to some idyllic end result. The next milestone is not there to assure us that the days of toil and hardship were worth it. We can't forget to notice and appreciate the little pleasures of the experience, the right here and the right now. Find pleasure enough in what's present today. December 12th. You have the time.
You see how much time you have only when you stop thinking you have none. Gusti Herigl.
Every parent feels short on time. You have work, you have your marriage, you have your relationship. You have your kids and soccer practices and lunches to pack and baths to give. You have all those important conversations to have, rules to set down, homework to check, curfews to enforce. Plus you have your own health and you have your own interest to service. Who has the time? You've probably said to yourself, how can I get it all in? You have to stop with this idea that you are rushed, that it all needs to be squeezed in, because it's the urgency and the franticness that are actually speeding things up. That was Gusti Herigl's powerful insight. You see, it's your desire to squeeze it all in that's filling your to-do list and making you miss opportunities. You don't need to schedule as much quality time with your kids if you realize that it's all quality time. You won't need to go to the gym as much if you realize that running around the yard is exercise. You won't need to do a whole lot of things when you realize that they don't really matter. And when you drop them, you'll have more space and more freedom. December 13th. Love the little moments.
Enjoy the little things, for one day you may look back and realize they were the big things. Robert Brault.
The morning rush before you get them ready for school, the time you spent waiting at a traffic light, when you were both hungry so you stopped for fast food, when they messed up but instead of getting mad you sat down as a family and talked, that weekend afternoon where you watched a movie on the couch. These seem like little, inconsequential, ultimately forgettable moments, the background noise of life, quintessential garbage time. But that's misleading. Just as one man's trash, or garbage time in this case, is another man's treasure, so can these little moments, if you decide to see them properly and soak them in, so too can these moments become the big moments, important time. Don't take it for granted. Don't let your mind or your attention drift. Don't get too anxious or ambitious about the future at the expense of the present. Just be here now. Be with them. Treat the little things as big things, because in truth, that's what they are. December 14th. Is it really time to go?
Whatever my son is doing right now, that's the most important thing. So I encourage him to keep doing it as long as possible. I never say, come on, let's go. Of course, my adult mind wanders to all the other things we could be doing, but I let it go and return to that present focus. Derek Sivers.
Even the most patient of us gets bored, or has somewhere to be, or really doesn't see what makes this flower, the 400th one drawn in a row, so special. So we want to prod our kids along. Dinner's almost ready. We're going to be late. The game's about to start. It's really hot out here. We have to work to override these instincts, because the truth is most of the stuff we're rushing to is not that urgent. There's a certain amount of zen in that, which is valuable to us for its own sake. But with regard to our kids, it's also teaching them a valuable skill. Shouldn't we want them to develop the ability to focus and pursue their curiosity? Isn't it worth it for them to get a little dirty, or for you to show up to the birthday party a little bit late because they were really, really intensely alive for a few minutes? Encourage your kids. Resist the urge to hurry. It's not really time to go. You're exactly where you, they, need to be. December 15th. Every moment is the same.
Always hold fast to the present. Every situation, indeed every moment, is of infinite value, for it is the representative of a whole eternity. Goethe.
With bills to pay or traffic to wait through, a colicky baby or a resentful teenager, it can be hard to feel that the moment right in front of you is a gift. But indeed, these are wonderful moments. We must, as Goethe put it, hold fast to them. That's what parenting is. It's right now. It's whatever you're doing in this moment, always. Driving them to school, folding laundry, getting some quiet time before they wake up, putting them back to bed when they wake up in the middle of the night, sending them to their room, taking away their phone because their grades have slipped. This is all it. This is all part of the job. And every one of these moments is wonderful. Every one of these moments is a gift. All of it is right now. It is being presented to you at this very moment. December 16th. You must amend your life. The great Robert Southwell poem is a haunting reminder to all parents. My ancestors are turned to clay, and many of my mates are gone, he writes. My youngers daily drop away, and can I think but to scape alone? No, no, I know that I must die, and yet my life amend not I. Do you parent according to the unpleasant fact that we will not be here forever? Or are you more like Southwell? Are you in denial, struggling to accept the only fact that matters and to amend your life accordingly? When you wake up each morning, when you walk through the front door each night, forget what you were bothered about at work. Forget what is happening in the news. Forget what you and your spouse are fighting about. Be with your kids. Be with your family. Life is short. Your family is what matters. Your kids are what matters. So forget all the things you'd like to do someday. Do them with your kids now. December 17th. This could be the moment.
these simple things are also the most extraordinary things. Paulo Coelho.
You're busy. It's a trip to the store. Your kids have been a pain all day. You're trying to get them ready to give them a special surprise. And because of what you're trying to do, trying to get through or plan, you're not thinking about right now. You're thinking about later. Is that so bad? In theory, of course not. The problem is that in reality, this moment could be the moment. Think of your own childhood. Think of what stands out. Is it the big moments, the big conversations, or is it the ordinary experiences, ordinary interactions, ones that your own parents don't even recall that have somehow wormed themselves into your memory? Like when your dad skipped work and took you to a random midweek baseball game, or when mom made breakfast for dinner, your favorite, for no reason in particular, or conversely, when they spoke to you sharply, when you saw them do something bad, when you were made to feel a certain way that you never felt before. Every moment is a chance to parent. Indeed, you are shaping them in every moment, whether you intend to or not. Every moment could be the moment. So you can't rush through them. You can't assume that they don't matter. You can't lower your standards for yourself, because this could be the last best moment that you get. December 18th. Try to see it this way. At the end of Death Be Not Proud, John Gunther's memoir about his son's life, Gunther's wife, Frances, writes, "Johnny lay dying of a brain tumor for 15 months. He was in his 17th year. I never kissed him goodnight without wondering whether I should see him alive in the morning. I greeted him each morning as though he were newly born to me, a re-gift of God. Each day he lived was a blessed day of grace." Hopefully, thankfully, most of us will not have to go through what that family did. But we can and must try to practice what they practice, because you never know. Wouldn't it be better to see each day this way, that each day with them is a gift, a lucky break, a midnight reprieve, as opposed to a chore? Act tonight as if it was your last time together. Soak it in, appreciate it, be everything they need. And then in the morning, arise and be surprised, grateful, blessed, by the grace of another try. And then live accordingly. December 19th. Do your future self this favor. At some point, you'll look back on this moment in your kid's life with the misty wistfulness of nostalgia. It doesn't matter what the future holds for them or what paths they take. You will look back at this time with a sense of longing. It is just a fact, because they'll never be two again, or 12, or 25. You only get so many bedtimes, so many baths, so many drives to school, so many vacations, so many evenings on the couch, so many times in the garage trying to fix something they asked your help with. In the end, we will all wish we could go back in time and get just one more of any of these moments. Well, that can't happen. But there is some way we could travel to the future, or at least speak to the future. As the great author of children's books, Adam Rubin, has said, we can, by the choices we make today, tell our future selves that we did everything we could, that we soaked it in, that we didn't rush through it, that we told them what they meant to us. Do your future self the favor of a lifetime. Don't take this moment for granted. Don't let your temper rule. Don't be stubborn. Don't value the wrong things. Love now while you can. Embrace the moment while you can. Don't rush away from it while it's still here. December 20th. They could be your last words. On January 8th, 2022, about to go on stage to perform stand-up, Bob Saget, legendary comedian, longtime host of America's Funniest Home Videos, and Danny Tanner on Full House, got a text from his daughter. We don't know what she said, but it wasn't urgent. He could have easily said to himself, I'll respond later, I'll call her in the morning. We've all done it. We're running late. We're processing emails when they call us from the other room. We're about to go into a meeting when they text us. We're tired and we rush through our goodnights. We tell ourselves that we'll respond in a little bit. We tell ourselves that we'll have another chance, that there will always be other phone calls, other texts, more goodnights. But that's not always true. Saget took a second to send what neither of them could have known would be his last text. Thank you, he wrote. Love you. Showtime. Hours later, he'd be found dead tragically in his Orlando hotel room at age 65. No one knows what their last words will be. No one knows how much time they have. So let's use the time we have before we lose the time. We're never guaranteed. Let's make sure we tell our kids how we feel about them while we still can. December 21st, they learned this lesson for you.
There are people who have seen their children die. Mary Laura Philpott.
The comedian and actor Rob Delaney's son, Henry, was healthy and beautiful, but then he got sick. Delaney and his wife, Leah, didn't know what to do, so they took Henry to the doctor. It took a long time, but eventually the doctor found that Henry had a brain tumor. They operated on it, and it got better. But sadly, the tumor took Henry's life at just 2 years old. On Mark Maron's podcast, Rob shared how his perspective changed following Henry's death. I hold my children, I hold my wife, he said, and I know that they will die. And I know that it could happen before I die. So I know that our time together is finite, it will end. And so I appreciate them much more. I marvel at the fact that these particular collections of cells coalesced around these souls for a temporary period. And I'm lucky to get to be here at the same time as the little collections of cells and bones and nostril hairs. And so I really make the most of it in a way that I didn't know before. And I wish that that skill didn't come from something so painful, but it did. That was the price tag for me to receive that gift. And now I have it, and I appreciate it. When we appreciate how little time we have with our loved ones, we can make the most of the finite time we have. Families like the Gunthers and the Delaneys, as well as quietly grieving families all around you, have learned painful and powerful lessons. We can't take their pain away, but we can heed it. We can do our best to appreciate it from afar, what they paid for it, and apply its wisdom in our own lives. Remind yourself this morning and every morning this will end. Tempus fugit, memento mori. Then go marvel at the collection of cells coalesced around the souls of those you love. Make the most of your time with them. December 22nd. What's more important?
Life is short. Do not forget about the most important things in our life. Living for other people, and doing good for them. Marcus Aurelius.
Your kid wants to go swimming, but you have to make this phone call. Your kids want to wrestle, but you have to cook dinner. Your kids want you to come tuck them in, but it's a tie game with 42 seconds left in regulation. We pick these things because they're urgent, because they'll only take a second. But mostly we pick them because we can get away with it. If something seemingly more urgent or out of control were to intervene, we would push the phone call. If you were stuck in traffic, you would order delivery. If the boss called and needed something, you'd find out later who won the game. Yet here you are telling your kid and their earnest request to spend time with you that they're not as important. Here you are choosing it over your kid. Most of whatever we're doing can wait. Not indefinitely, of course. No one is telling you to put it off forever. But this moment right now, you can't get back. Take it. Play. Sit with them. Talk with them. Pause the TV. Save the draft and come back to it. Let dinner get cold. Tell so-and-so you'll have to call them back. Your kids are more important. December 23rd. You can't put things off. Do you know what one of the last things Abraham Lincoln ever said was? As he sat in the box at Ford's Theater waiting for the play to start, Lincoln turned to his wife and said, "How I should like to visit Jerusalem sometime." Within minutes, an assassin would fire a bullet into his brain. Within hours, he would be dead. Just as you have your many reasons for why you are waiting to do this or delaying that, Lincoln had his. And yet life has a way of stripping all our reasons bare, of humbling our plans and assumptions. We must live, as Marcus Aurelius said, as if death hangs over us. We must parent this way too, because it does hang over us. We cannot put off till tomorrow, he said, what we can do today, whether it's being good, our highest priority, or telling people that we love them or taking them to places we always wanted to see. December 24th. It's not about the stuff.
I've never met a 13-year-old who said, "My dad was never around because he was always working, but I have a sweet mountain bike, so it was all worth it." John Acuff.
You work very hard and are able to provide not just the basic necessities, but all sorts of extras. Because of you, your kids have a swimming pool. They have nice vacations. They have a big TV downstairs with lots of channels. They have all this and more. And yet it doesn't matter. It's not the swimming pool they want. It's you in the swimming pool with them. It's being in the motel room eating snacks together wherever you happen to be. That's what they really want. The TV is great, but not a substitute for dad. The stuff you get them is great. It is not, no matter how nice it is, a substitute. They'd rather play in an inflatable pool from Walmart with you than play alone in one with a slide and a waterfall. They'd rather live in an apartment and have family meals together than feel lonely in the best neighborhood in town. They want you. They want fun. And you should want to be those things too, because there is no telling how much longer you'll have them to yourself or they'll have you in their lives. December 25th. This is a gift you can give yourself and your family. When you were younger, for Christmas, all you wanted was presents. Now you're older, now that you have kids, all you want is presents. All you want is for your kids to be present over the holidays. Paul Orfalea, the founder of Kinko's, is worth hundreds of millions of dollars. When asked about his wealth, he doesn't talk about buying expensive stuff or building a great company or taking exotic vacations. He said, "Do you know what success is? Success is when your children want to be with you when adults. How many people have all the material stuff and their kids don't come home for the holidays? Come on." Success, as we've talked about before, is having a crowded table. At the end of your life, success as a parent will be the family that comes together, that spends time together, that wants you to be around. So here on Christmas and throughout the holiday season, take some time to think about what that will take. Think about the choices you're making with your kids now so they'll choose to fly from their own home to yours when they're older and have families of their own. Think about the gifts you'll have to give them today, your love, your support, your presence, to receive the gift of a crowded table in the future. December 26, Forever Young. One of the reasons some kids are so unprepared for the real world is that parents see the sweetness and innocence of a child and think, "I want to keep them that way forever." They felt like their own childhood was too short, and so they seek to extend childhood for their children as long as possible. It's an understandable impulse, but it's also a kind of contradiction. Instead of enjoying how special their kid is in that moment, the parent is thinking both about the future, their own, and the past, their own, and trying to figure out how to protect their kids from them. Instead of being present, instead of seizing and drinking in right now, they are futilely trying to hold back a tide that no one, not even the most dedicated parent, can stop. Time. Today and always, we should remember the line from that famous William Blake poem, "Hold infinity in the palm of your hand, and eternity in an hour." If you want your kid to be forever young, enjoy this moment here in front of you. Experience it fully right now. Don't give even a thought to what lies around the bend, because you know what you might find? That right now just keeps going on. December 27th. This is when it matters. The Europeans of the past had some weird parenting practices. Montaigne's parents sent him to live with villagers as an infant. Jane Austen's mother breastfed each of her kids for the first month, then handed them off entirely to someone else. Aristocratic parents delegated to nannies and tutors and governesses until the kids were old enough to participate in adult conversations. What most of us understand now, either culturally or intuitively, is that every minute you have with your kids matters. But the younger they are, the more those minutes matter. There's an old expression, "Give me the first 6 years of a child's life, and you can have the rest." Imagine generations of parents who did exactly the opposite of this. No wonder the past was so horrible. People did such horrible things to each other. The first thing their parents did to them was horrible. They severed the first and most important bond a child has, the familial bond. And think about what this cost them. Yes, kids are difficult when they're young, but it's also when they're the most fun, the most innocent, the absolute cutest. So why are we so busy? Why are we working so much, trying to have it all, cramming in the old things we used to do before, while we ask our parents to watch our children for us? We tell ourselves that when our kids are old, we'll make more time for them. We'll have more freedom then. And besides, they'll appreciate it more when they're older. No, now is when it matters most. Now is when it counts. Earlier, the better. December 28th. This could be that day. It was just another day on vacation for the Roosevelts in 1921. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, then 39 years old in the prime of his career and life, spent the morning sailing around some islands with Eleanor and his two older boys. They had quite an adventure. Seeing a small fire on a nearby island, they rushed and put it out as a family. When they got back, FDR and his sons raced each other more than a mile to a swimming hole, and then they jumped into the bay of Funday together. For FDR, a busy man, these days were too few. This one in 1921 took on a special significance after the fact, though, because as Doris Kearns Goodwin writes in her book Leadership, within 48 hours, paralysis had spread to FDR's limbs, his thumbs, his toes, his back, his bladder, and his rectal sphincter. Pain shot up and down his legs. His life would never be the same. Never again would he race his boys on foot. Never again could he play and sail and dive with them without intense physical pain. In fact, he very nearly died. The hard truth is that today could be that day for us. We have no idea what viruses or diseases are already making their way through our body. We have no idea what awaits us at the top of the stairs or around the corner or across the street. So we must enjoy every moment with our kids. We must give everything we have to being a parent and relish the joy they bring us. December 29th. This is the eulogy you get to hear. It was an early summer night in 1967. The Stafford family was all together. They'd had dinner, they'd laughed, they'd caught up on their day. And then the parents headed to bed while the kids kept the evening going. It's a scene out of millions of family vacations and reunions and Thanksgivings and Christmases. In his diary the next day, William Stafford, the poet, would recount how wonderful it had been. Last night, the kids in our living room stayed up to talk after Dorothy and I came out to bed, he said, and they were talking about us or about to do so, benevolently. I happened to think, this may be the only and is probably the best memorial service I will ever get. At the end of your life, success as a parent will be a family that comes together, that spends time together, that wants to be around you. But Stafford's realization is a powerful one. The evenings together, that's the funeral you get to attend. The family dinners, the long conversations, these are the eulogies you get to hear. Cherish this while you can. Cultivate it while it's still possible. It's what makes life worth living. December 30th. What can you do? When she was a soon-to-be empty nester mother of two, Mary Laura Philpont wrote her belated reflections on what it must have been like for her father, who worked high up in the federal government during the Cold War, preparing for how to protect the president during a nuclear attack on the Capitol. She tried to imagine how he must have carried on with his work, knowing that he was, in fact, preparing for the very end of the world, and almost certainly the end of his own D.C.-based family. This paragraph is worth reproducing in full. What can we do, then, if we cannot stop time or prevent every loss? We carry on with ordinary acts of everyday caretaking, she writes. I cannot shield my beloveds forever, but I can make them lunch today. I can teach a teenager to drive. I can take someone to a doctor's appointment, fix the big crack in the ceiling when it begins to leak, and tuck everyone in at night until I can't anymore. I can do small acts of nurturing that stand in for big, impossible acts of permanent protection, because the closest thing to lasting shelter we can offer one another is love, as deep and wide and in as many forms as we can give it. We can take care of who we can and what we can. All you can do is keep on keeping on. Love. Try to be present. Do your best. Protect them. Take care of them. Ignore everything else. December 31st. Begin anew while you can. Each haircut, each set of outgrown clothes, each round of spring cleaning, each start of a new sports season is marking a passage of time. It's moving us closer to the thing we all dread, our kids growing up, our kids leaving, our final parting. But the point of this message is not to depress you. It's not intended to take the joy out of spring. On the contrary, it's to help you enjoy it now while it's here. It's to remind you of how important it is and what a wonderful opportunity it presents. As Philip Larkin writes in his beautiful poem, The Trees, about the annual message that the earth gives each spring. Last year is dead, they seem to say. Begin afresh, afresh, afresh. The past is past. The last year is gone forever. The length of the future remains, as ever, uncertain. But now is now. The new season is here. Let us put our mistakes behind us. Let us work against distraction, addiction, and busyness. Let us rededicate ourselves to the reason we are here, to parenting, our most important job. Let us begin afresh, afresh, afresh. Let's enjoy this year with all it presents. Because when each season dies and turns to the next one, so do we a little. And so does one of only so many seasons we have with our kids. Tempus fugit. This is Ryan Holiday. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of The Daily Dad, 366 Meditations on Parenting, Love, and Raising Great Kids. This program was produced by Diane McKiernan, edited by JSR Post, LLC, additional narration by Cynthia Farrell and Jonathan Todd Ross, text copyright 2023 by Ryan Holiday, production copyright 2023 Penguin Random House, LLC, all rights reserved.